Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let us pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, we are so thankful and we're so blessed. Father, you have blessed us so abundantly, Father. Lord, there's, as my pastor said, Lord, there's just so many things that are going on right now, Father. There's loss of life, loss of home, confusion, and disorder. But Father, you're in charge of every bit of it, and nothing happens that doesn't pass by you first, Lord. So Father, I'm reminded as yesterday how blessed we are to have a church family, Lord. Out of the church family, there was outreach around the congregation, Father, to check on people and see how they were. And Father, four different families offered a place for me and my wife to stay in if we didn't get our electricity back on, Father. That's nothing but your love, Father, shown through your children. So Father, we have an opportunity to be that light, to shine, because we know the light of the world. And we pray, Father, that you will use us as a body of believers to reach out into this community, Father, and to make a difference. And Father, I pray for my pastor today, Lord, as he stands behind your sacred desk, Father, that you will just turn him loose. I pray, Father, that you will use him in a mighty way. I pray as the word goes out this morning, Father, it'll be stronger and bolder than ever, Father. And Lord, I pray for our ears. I pray for our hearts, that we will listen and we will be receptive, Father, and we will respond according to your will today, Father. We pray and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Good morning, everybody. We are in the last of a sermon series on truth concerning error. For the rest of the month, we'll be focused on Christmas messages, more than likely. And but if you are here this morning, we've been, and haven't, maybe you're a guest or a visitor, but we've been talking about things that key components of faith in Genesis 1 through 11, like creation, corruption, the fall of man, catastrophe, the flood, confusion, and then last week, Christ and the cross. And whether you understand this or not, we are in a war. This is not some playground we're on. This is a battleground. And somehow, some way, the authority of man's word has been elevated above God's word. And it started all the way back where? In the Garden of Eden. And we've talked about that. And Satan has deceived billions of people over the last 6,000 years with his tools of deception and doubt. And yet God has given us the truth about everything. Look at your neighbor and tell him he's truth. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but your morality, your ethics, your sense of right and wrong, your behavior, everything is shaped by who or what your authority is. The scripture addresses all of these hot topics today. Abortion on demand, gay marriage, transgenderism, racism, rampant divorce, sexual immorality, sex trafficking, pornography, spousal abuse, child abuse. Scripture addresses every one of those issues. And so I think a lot of what you're seeing in the world today is the result of man's word having authority over God's word. We need to know the truth. We need to know the truth. And so this morning, We're going to be talking about how are things going to, knowing all these things, how's everything going to wind up? How's it all going to end? What's going to be the result of man's rebellion and allowing man's word to be elevated above what God's word said? We're going to look at that this morning. Y'all ready for that? Let's stand to our feet. We're going to be in the book of 2 Peter this morning. And Simon Peter's been dealing with the false teachers of his day. We're going to be in chapter 3 of 2 Peter. And these false teachers had come in speaking destructive doctrine, living depraved lifestyles, deceiving the saints with their heresy. And by the way, nothing much has changed. You better be real careful who you're listening to. All right. Satan is a liar. He's a deceiver, and he'll use anybody. He'll even put people in the pulpit to deceive you. Hallelujah. All right. 2 Peter chapter 3, let me just read verses 5 through 7. We'll do more than that here in just a minute, but we'll start there. Verse 5. For this they, the false teachers, willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water. He's talking there about creation, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. What's he talking about there? Noah's flood, that's right. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, who's holding everything together? Yeah. Are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Father, we'd ask that you would apply your holy and errant, infallible, authoritative word to our lives today. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. All right, you had these scoffers coming into the early church and they're asking questions. I thought Jesus was supposed to come back. Why has he not returned? Where is he? Is he really coming back for us? Has he forgotten about us? Everything, if you just look at everything, this is what they were saying. I'm paraphrasing, but everything is just like it always been. Nothing has changed. And Simon Peter rises to say, as surely as God created the world and then judged the world with a flood, our ungodly world will once again be destroyed, not by a flood, but by fire. All of creation is under the curse of sin. Romans 8:22 tells us this, that all of creation moans and groans under this curse. Our planet, our universe is cursed by sin. God never intended for things to be the way it is today. But God knows that real love is chosen love, and he gave us a free will. He doesn't bust the door down into your heart. He's a gentleman. You have to invite him to come in. Revelation 22:3 reveals that even one day that curse, the curse of sin that we're under today, will be completely removed and God will create new heavens and a new earth. So let's talk about this for the next few minutes, all right? If you have your Bible, we're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 3. Now, look at verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, how does a thief show up at night? Were you expecting him? He just is an unannounced guest, right? Well, that's the way the end of time is going to show up, this day of the Lord. And that was the description that Old Testament prophets used for the coming of the Lord, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. You see, there is going to be a big bang, but it didn't happen at the beginning of time. It's going to happen at the end of time. Y'all with me so far? All right, now watch this. And the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned. Verse 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Now, evolution teaches us today, this is man's word, teaches us that years ago there was some big bang. And out of that big bang, something, life began to evolve out of absolutely nothing from some green amoebic slime. Look at your neighbor and say, ooh, that's slimy. Over millions of years, this is what our kids are learning in school. Evolution is now being taught as fact, not as theory. Over millions of years, life evolved from non-life into fish, into amphibians, then into birds, then into mammals, then into ape-like creatures, finally into man. But the Word of God tells us this morning that there will be a big bang, but it's going to happen at the end of all things. And so the day of the Lord that he's talking about here is a description of the coming of the Lord. Now, that entails a lot of different cataclysmic events. But those Old Testament prophets saw the coming of the Lord, the day of the Lord, in history in terms of the present age and the age to come. And the transition would come through these cataclysmic events that the Scripture talks about. The universe is going to be shaken to its very foundation. It will be a time of destruction and judgment that the world has never seen. And, of course, the Great Tribulation, or the time of Jacob's trouble, will usher in God's judgment. It will come as a thief in the night. Folks will be unprepared and won't be ready for it. And 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 and verse 10, the verses I just read, reveals that our universe is reserved and stored by what? Fire. Fire. Did you know that there's enough atomic energy in a glass of water to run an ocean liner? We have discovered the secret, we really have, to the universe. It's atomic energy. And that's atomic power. And one day, all of this atomic energy that's being stored in the earth is all going to explode. And fire will melt the universe with intense heat. God's going to make all things new. And by the way, he's the one who's going to push the button, not that nutcase over in Russia. Okay? God is behind everything. Amen? And so it is God who will push that button and to burn up the old creation and the sinful works of humanity. And we're talking now about the galaxies, the solar system. We're talking about planet Earth. We're just having good Bible study this morning, y'all, okay? Y'all just hang with me. We're going somewhere. And the weight and the carnage of sin that man has ushered in upon God's creation will all be destroyed by fire. There's coming a big bang. Here's my question, when is that going to happen? Billy, do you know why I think we draw great crowds when we preach through the book of Revelation? Yeah, we want to know when it's all going to happen. You want to know why we want to know when it's all going to happen? So we can get our lives right just before he comes back. Hello? It's going to happen. Because God's Word says it's going to happen. Now, let me give you a quick panorama of prophecy so you'll know when this is going to take place. Now, the first thing that's going to happen, and nothing else needs to happen, but the church is going to be taken. We're going up. I'm not down on the church. I'm up on the church. Here's our adult and teen challenge, guys. Amen. Glad y'all are here. Guys, we're going up. And the rapture of the church is imminent. It could take place at any point in time. And for 7 years, we'll be at the marriage supper of the Lamb and the Bema seat of Christ. God's going to make all things right. Girls, we're going to the powder room in glory. And he's going to reward us for the things that we've done. And our works will be judged. And we're going to sit down to this wonderful marriage ceremony. By the way, you're engaged to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who you're living for, right? And so for 7 years, that's going to be going on up there. That's what we'll be doing. And for 7 years down here, it's going to be hell on earth. It'll be a time that's going to be so horrible. The Bible says that he will have to shorten those days for the elect. And so, and during that time, the Antichrist will rise, and he's going to make the peace over there in Jerusalem. and in the Middle East, between the Arabs and the Jews. Can y'all imagine that? He's going to broker a peace treaty between those enemies of thousands of years. And the Jews will be able to reinstitute their sacrificial system. They'll build their temple back. And then at the midpoint of that 7 years, after 3.5 years, you know what he's going to do? The Antichrist, who's powered by Satan, he's going to set up headquarters in Jerusalem. And then he's going to broadcast his image over the whole world. And if you don't bow down and worship him and receive his mark, which is... six, 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 you're going to be executed. He's going to run you down and execute you. So the best time to come to Jesus is, guess what? Right now. That's right. And then all the armies of the world are going to march on Jerusalem for the prospects of taking over the Holy Land. And then just when it seems like everything's about to go south for Israel, we're going to show up with Jesus. You're going to come riding with him. He's riding on a great white horse. And he's going to land on the Mount of Olives. We'll be with him. And he's going to dismount. He's going to walk down into the valley of Jezreel and speak to multiplied millions. He's going to say something. I don't know what he's going to say. Drop dead, whatever. But it's all going to be over in a New York second. And then he's going to set up his headquarters up in the new millennial temple that he will build supernaturally and miraculously, and he will reign and rule for 1,000 years. And during that time, Satan, guess what? He's going to the bottomless pit. He's going to be locked up for 1,000 years. Antichrist and false prophet have been thrown where? Into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. And so for 1,000 years, the church will reign and rule with Christ. I preached over at Steve Lanham's church Tuesday, and I kind of tried this out on them, okay? And I said, I wonder who's going to run Southside and Cunningham, knowing that Pastor Steve is from Southside. But it's all going to work out. It's working out according to the way God wants it. And so for 1,000 years, we're going to... And then at the end of that 1,000-year period, there will be people born in the millennium that will not receive Christ. They'll reject him. Can you imagine that? That just goes to show you how wicked our hearts are. And then at the end of that, Satan will be released and he'll lead one final revolt and it'll all be over with. And then he'll be sent to the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. And then the great white throne judgment. All the dead of all history will be raised to be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ. And anyone whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20:14 reveals that anyone who rejects God's free gift of salvation in the person of his Son will suffer a second death, eternal separation from God. And this is when, I believe, after the great white throne judgment, that God will destroy the old heavens and the old earth with an atomic explosion, the real Big Bang, and then God's going to make all things new. That's what's going to happen. That's in your scriptures. That's in the Bible. I want y'all to know the truth, okay? So let this truth saturate every part of your being this morning. By the way, if you'll read Revelation 21 and 22, you'll come to the understanding that I've got, we win! Yeah, we're on the winning team. And yet we act like, oh... Now, there's going to be some new heavens and a new earth. And I really want to talk about this for just a minute, if that's okay. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. Y'all with me so far? Yes. Now, it's going to get better and better. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now, what we're talking about here is the eternal state, okay? Everybody is in their glorified body. You'll be able to travel at the speed of thought. There'll be no, you know, your brain will be... Did you know we're using about 10% of the capacity of our brain right now? Somebody said yes real quick. Well, then we're going to use it the way God created it to be. And everyone in the new heavens and the new earth will be in their glorified state, never to sin again. Revelation 22:3 says, even the curse of sin will be removed. The new heavens and the new earth is going to be so wonderful, we'll forget about the old one. How many of y'all like to be out in creation? You ever been to the Rocky Mountains or the Niagara Falls or the out west Yellowstone? Well, as beautiful and wonderful as all that, it's going to pale in comparison to the new heaven and the new earth, because this earth and these heavens are under the curse of sin. It's done a number on everything. And so this new heaven and new earth in Revelation 21 and 22, we don't have time to go there, but there will be no more disease, no more destruction, no more death. Hallelujah. There'll be no more sickness, no more flu. The new COVID-19 is flu, by the way. I've had it, okay? And listen to this. There will be no more broken relationships. No more broken homes. Hallelujah. There'll be no more torn communities and towns and cities and churches that are torn apart by untruth. There'll be no more war. There'll be no more night. No need for the moon or the sun. You know why? The Shekinah glory of God's going to light up the universe. Woo! But best of all, there'll be no more sin, no more curse. And we're going to drink from the river of life and eat from the tree of life. Tell somebody, I can't wait. Oh, me. We're going to see him as he is. Think about that. We're going to see him as he is, and we're going to dwell in his presence. Revelation 21 says that we are going to tabernacle with him. We're going to dwell with him. Whew. Everything will be as God created it to be. It'll even be better than good. And I want to, if you haven't got this book, it's a little bit dated now, but it's called Heaven. Randy Alcorn wrote it. And he's a theologian and a novelist. Got the best of both worlds. If you don't have that book, get it. Get it. Because it'll tell you. Now, I don't agree with everything in it, but he asked all kinds of questions like, will there be dogs in heaven? Some of y'all really want to know about that. There's a lot of questions in this book that are answered by what the Word of God says. So get that book, because we're looking forward to new heavens and a new earth. Some of you that are unhappy with things are going to be happy forever. You're going to be filled with joy. Whoo, glory is unspeakable. Now, knowing all of that, knowing everything that we've talked about so far, how should we prepare for consummation? How should we prepare for the climax of things? How should we prepare when the curtain is drawn? How should we prepare for the end of days? Well, Peter even answers that question. Look at verse 11. Now, when you come across this word, therefore, what should you ask yourself? What's therefore, therefore? And you read the context that the verse is sitting in. We've already done that. Look at verse 11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved. In other words, when it all comes down to the end, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? And then jump to verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now, we're not talking about perfection here, but what we're talking about is holiness and godliness. Knowing how everything's going to come together, knowing how everything's going to end, how everything is going to wind up, we're to be living holy and godly lives, knowing that this world and its works are all going to dissolve and burn up. We should be fixed and focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. and Him only. I want to tell you, when you get up every morning, tomorrow morning, if Jesus tarries, tomorrow morning, ask yourself, could Jesus come today? Oh, yeah. And then ask yourself, how should I be living today? And you'll stay fixed. You'll stay focused on the Lord. Now, if you're not looking for Jesus, here's what's going to happen. You're going to wind up lukewarm, apathetic, and indifferent. You see, those who are really looking for Jesus to come are living godly, holy lives. Can I get a witness? Amen. Somebody who's really living for Jesus knows that He's coming soon. It could be today, and usher in these end time events that the Scripture calls the day of the Lord, the time of the Lord, really is what that word means. And so our conduct should be of the highest quality. The word godliness there describes a person fully devoted to pleasing God. It's what drives us to be spotless and blameless and at peace with Him. Not perfect, but your heart's coated with integrity. Your lips flow with honesty. Your life is marked by fidelity because you're fixed and focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 14 that I just read, those words refer to an appropriate sacrifice. Now, we're to bring the Lord the very best that we have. I said, we're to bring the Lord the very best that we have. Anybody know what Romans 12, 1 says? A living sacrifice. Present yourselves a living sacrifice. That's good, brother. Holy and acceptable unto Him, which is our reasonable act of service. And so we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice day in and day out. And did you catch this? Look at verses 8 and 9. This is amazing. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some count slackness, but His long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anybody to be lost. He wants everyone to be saved. And so should we. Now, watch this. Look at verse 12. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved. So did you know the way that we're living our lives helps speed up this process if we're living holy and godly lives? It speeds this process up. How many of you would love to see Jesus today? What, and mess Christmas all up? I had a woman tell me that one time. I said, what? Mercy. What an amazing truth that it's not God's will that any might perish, but that everyone would be saved. And you know, folks, the more people that God saves, listen to this, the closer the church is to rapture. The more people God saves, the closer we are to going to Him. And the more we witness, the more people are saved, and the closer we are to His coming. Are y'all with me? Godly living speeds that process up. The Lord is sick and tired, I believe. The Scripture says He is nauseated by half in, half out, lukewarm, half-hearted, half-committed Christianity. Let me say it again. Revelation 3, the church at Laodicea, which is a picture of the church today. Oh, everything's good. We got good ministry. We're doing a lot of good things. Da 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 da. Jesus said, I know your works. And you're neither hot nor cold. You're somewhere in the middle. And that's where most church members are today. And yet we've got all this junk going on around us. I don't know how you feel this morning. I've got a lot more days behind me than I got ahead of me. but I want my time to count. I want to finish well. Some days I do well and some days I don't. But the days I'm fixed and focused on Him, I find that more often than not, I'm helping to speed this process up. Now, how many of you would agree, don't just give this lip service, but how many of you would agree that God deserves our very best? He deserves it. Living sacrifice. I want to close with this. Matthew 7:21. This one wakes me up at night. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he or she who does the will of my Father in heaven. The New Testament writers just live in that tension. We're not saved by works, but if you're saved, you've got a salvation that works for the glory of God. You don't sit in some chair and never get up and serve God. You don't just come to show up at worship and throw some money in the plate and then live any old way you want to Monday through Saturday. Who am I preaching to here today? Come on now. When Jesus comes, the ones He's going to recognize are the ones that are doing what the Father told them to do. You've just heard what the Father told us to do, to live holy and godly lives. Let's pray together. Father, You know my heart better than I know it myself. And I, in the presence of all these witnesses, just want to commit to godly living, holy living. I can't do this on my own, obviously. I need Your help. So, God, we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit this morning. We need the leadership and the direction of the Holy Spirit. We need Him to fill us this morning with His power and His presence. God, I believe in these people here. I know that You've got something better for them than what they're experiencing. I know, God, that You've got a bigger plan and purpose than we can even begin to imagine sometimes. And so, Lord, this Christmas, may we give You the gift You don't already have. Our whole heart, all of us, all in, for Your honor and glory, to lay our lives down each and every day so that we might be a blessing to You. And Father, the way that we show You how much we love You, we understand this, it's by the way that we love others. God, we got a lot of folks to love on right now. And so I pray that during this time of invitation that You'd send revival among Your people in these last days, in these last hours, before things begin to come to an end. Oh God, help us to believe Your word and allow it to have authority over the way that we live our lives. Help us, Lord Jesus. If you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship, I said relationship with Jesus, if you'd be willing to repent, to have enough godly sorrow over your sinful condition and turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ as your only means of salvation by calling on His name and asking Him to save you today, He will. He will. And He'll give you a brand new heart. And He'll get you started in godly living. And if you're here this morning and you are saved, but you're kind of half in, half out, half-hearted, half committed, half this, half that, and you want revival in your life, you really would like to be on fire for God, I want you to just ask Him to take control of things. You can do that in your seat, but there's accountability here at this altar. And you you need to come and lay that life down as a living sacrifice this morning, you come. Father, I pray, Lord, for every person here, whether it's a salvation need, a maturation need, a leadership need. Maybe there's someone here, Father, you're dealing with about the ministry, about the mission field, or youth ministry, or worship ministry, or whatever, God. Help us to sell out to you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.